So for anybody who doesn't know me, my name's Neil Parker, so I'm an MVP. I work at Power Objects with Marco, so hopefully there's a nice synergy with some of the things that I've been doing. I've been blogging about USD and CafeX for quite a long time, and you can see the details from my blog there if you want to kind of look at some more information. So first of all, to kind of set the scene, digital transformation, which is one of the themes of this day, really. It's said that millennials are driving omni-channel adoption. But to put that into context as to what it means, yeah, I'm of a certain age, you know, I'm knocking on 50, and to think that millennials are actually 50% now, pretty much, of the potential workforce or potential customer base that companies are going to be targeting. And by 2025, they're going to be kind of 75% of it. And it's really important to understand that these guys expect your websites to include self-service, to include chat capabilities. And they actually expect quite often service not to be within minutes, but to be literally immediate, there and then, and reactive. And a telling statistic is 25% of these potential customers will leave the company after just one bad experience. So you get your contact centres wrong, you get your engagement wrong with these customers, and you'll upset them quite quickly and lose them quite quickly. And that really is where products like Unified Service Desk and Live Assist, coupled with Dynamics 365, really come into their own to help ensure that you're getting the best journeys for your customers. We can just look for a second at the kind of evolution of omni-channel, because it's a term that's come out really in terms of contact centres a little bit more recently. I'm old enough to remember that when you wanted to complain to a company, you got a letter out and you wrote down, I'm really unhappy with your service, and you put it in the post and you waited 6 weeks for a response if you're lucky. And you could phone them up if you want, but you'll get through to the receptionist who basically put you on hold forever and it would never work. And that kind of process was just not very good and evolved into call centres. So when I was a bit older, but I'd still got hair probably back then, you've got call centres that were really, really phone-based. And for a long time, call centres have been dropping the term call centre and have been calling themselves contact centres to start to acknowledge the fact that it's not just about phone. But traditionally, or very commonly still, a lot of call centres, it's predominantly phone still. And then they add in email and maybe some web requests that come from the website in terms of you capturing things on websites, and that's about it. Some call centres do a bit more than that, but largely that's what contact centres these days are focused on. Omnichannel is quite different. First of all, we're adding in more channels such as web chat and more kind of live communication. It's also about enabling self-service portals and such like, but the particular difference between omni-channel and contact centres, so if you think of contact centres as multiple channels, each journey with the customer, though, is on one channel. With omni-channel, you might start off on a web chat, or you might start off logging, placing an order on the website or using a portal, and then go to chat, and then go from the chat to maybe a co-browse, and then escalate that to a phone call, so that the one journey goes through different channels along the way. And the systems have got to be able to cope with any combination of that at any moment in time. So omnichannel is a lot more complicated challenge for contact centres to get right. And get it wrong, and you're going to lose customers big style. So products like Live Assist and Unified Service Desk in this space are really important. Because I've said that omnichannel is today, but quite frankly, a lot of the contact centres that I engage with and we've been going into doing presentations and stuff, they're not quite there today. Microsoft themselves, to give you an example, I placed a call the other day, and you can log the support call on the portal. I started talking to the guys on the phone. In the meantime, I reverted to using Live Assist, because they're now using that themselves. unfortunately, though, it wasn't quite sewn up, so the different agents didn't know the different parts of that conversation I was having. So I was repeating myself three times on three different channels, which isn't ideal. So, you know, it's going to take time for companies to really, really get this right. But where are we going with omnichannel? And that's about the automated omnichannel. And Marco's been showing us some great stuff with bots and automation. And automation is going to be the big thing as to where we go next with omnichannel. And to the point where, actually, as a customer, it might be transparent to you when you're talking to the bot and when you're talking to the agent. So some of the stuff that Live Assist are developing is around bots and automation that I'll touch on in a minute. You'll transition from talking to the bot to the agent or from the agent to the bot. And you might not know when that transition happens as a customer, if they're done really, really well. So we've got bot automation. There'll be a lot more channels as we bring in social media and Twitter. And I was with the same travel agent that Marco's been working with the other day, and we're talking about their contact center. And the number of different channels that they listed was mind-blowing. You'd have a conversation about phone and email not so long ago was probably 10 or 15 different channels that they were talking about in terms of Twitter, SMS, portal. It goes on and on in terms of all the different social networks that they actually want to work with. And then you've got machine learning linking into all this to give you all of the knowledge base in integration and to make it more and more intelligent. So the whole landscape of contact centres is starting to shift. Unified Service Desk really helps us with this. Just as a straw poll, am I right in assuming that most people here are familiar with Unified Service Desk and knows what it is, or who uses it or is aware of it? Hands? Not that many. Okay, so when I give a demo, I'll try and put it in context as to what Unified Service Desk is at the same time. So what Unified Service Desk allows us to do, okay, it provides us, the agents, a unified experience, and I'll show you that in action in a second. We can utilize tools like call scripting to help guide the agent, because the agents have got increasingly complex products that they've got to actually service and increasingly complex customer needs, and things like scripting stuff really helps them. And it's all about then integrating in with varying knowledge bases to actually make that a seamless channel and seamless kind of service. Now, all of that's great, but what about omnichannel? Because Unified Service Desk isn't really providing omnichannel. It's providing a front end and a whole load of automation, but it isn't omnichannel. And that's where Live Assist starts to come in. Right now, today, what Live Assist is available, and you can configure it, and it works really, really slickly. It's a great product, and I'll demo it in a second. It gives you live chat on your website and co-browse capabilities and a few other bits and pieces that I'll show you. What's about to be released or is coming later on this year, touch wood, is voice and ultimately video integration all within Live Assist. So you'd start off with a web chat, and then you can escalate that to a voice call or a video call. I've got customers that we're talking to that are particularly excited about the video. Because if you imagine all the sort of service scenarios, imagine you do a web chat because you've just bought the latest shiny television and you can't get it to work. You start on your phone, they say go to video, you take the camera, you put it behind the telly and you show them all the cables that you've plugged in, and so I know you've plugged that one in the red socket and it should be in the white socket, and they tell you because they can see it. And that's going to save the... From the customer's point of view, you're going to get that fixed quick. From a company's perspective, they're not going to send a field agent out just to go and swap a cable around because the guy on the phone couldn't work out that actually you'd just done a silly mistake. So it's better all around. As Marco mentioned, Live Assist having their roadmap to do virtual chatbots. I don't think they've released a date yet, so I think we're looking at Q3 for the voice and video. I don't think they've actually released a date when the bots will come, but it's definitely documented and it's published in Microsoft roadmaps. And this is really important because Microsoft have got a strategic partnership with CafeX, who provide Live Assist. And that strategic partnership, building all these different components together, is really important in terms of the future of this. So it's not, it is a third-party add-on that we're putting into to Dynamics 365, but it's important to understand that relationship and that close involvement there. So I added this slide on to give us a flavour. When we talk about omnichannel, Live Assist and USD still don't give us everything. I started putting down bullet points of the different technologies that could be involved here and that Unified Service Desk can orchestrate to pull all this together. And I got bored when I'd filled the slide with all this lot. You've got cognitive services, you've got the back end of Exchange and Skype for Business linking in. You've got products like Field Service if you want to escalate the call up to actually send a physical engineer and turn it into a face-to-face interaction. You've got your social engagement, you've got your knowledge bases. You've got loads of ISV products, and obviously I'm from Power Objects, so there's quite a few Power ones on there. But there are other products like Click Dimensions and stuff that could come into play here as well as. And what's nice about the architecture that we're all working with Dynamics 365 is all these things play really nicely together. You know, you can implement whatever kind of automation that you want between these things really, really easily because they're all out of the same product set. So I suppose the best thing to do is to have a look at it. And I'll take you through the kind of the different features. I'll just get it to re-log on. So what we're looking at here is Unified Service Desk, which hopefully most of you see before. But basically, think of Unified Service Desk as a container for CRM. And it's a configuration-based framework. So everything I'm going to show you, because I'm not a developer, is zero code. So I'm not going to start showing you some fancy widget that some real clever boffin's written. I've knocked this up in a couple of hours with a bit of configuration. It really is kind of straightforward stuff. So I'm in Unified Service Desk, and I've got this panel on the right-hand side that's giving me Live Assist, and I've got this presence control up here that's currently saying I'm online. Well, I'm on my siesta at the moment, and I'll be back soon. So I'm going to put myself to sleep at the moment. I'm the only agent, so currently there's nobody available to answer queries to the agents. So let's go and look at the customer experience. Now, what I'm showing you here is a website that Live Assist providers as a demo one. Actually, it's dead easy to take this and stick it into your own website. What they give you is basically a line of JavaScript that you cut and paste into the header record of your website, and you're done. Even somebody with as little coding skills as me can manage to cut and paste some code. That's really important because then everything I'm going to show you in terms of the interaction is just configuration from the back end, and you can change it interactively all the time. So we can do things like this. So I'm skipping around this website, and I'm doing this on purpose. I've visited a few pages as a user, and then I start to look at these rooms, and it's detected I've looked at quite a few things, and I've got this peel that's appeared in this top right end that I've got 5% off in the next hour because I've been hovering around the website and I've not been doing anything. I've not been buying. So it's like, let's give them an incentive to buy. So you're not necessarily just driving to chat. You can drive to content, which is quite important kind of use for Live Assist. And it's also important because one of the implications of this is, say you tie it to the size of your basket or what products you're looking at. I might sell laptops. I might also sell mice. If somebody's looking at a mouse that's worth 10 quid, it might not be worth putting a chat now button and tying one of my agents up having a chat about, well, how long's the cable on that mouse? Because really, it's a waste of my agent's time. But if I'm looking at a £2,000 laptop, maybe it's worth having a chat about all the features and why they might want to buy that, so I'll offer them the chat. So you can decide whether you're going to push the user of your website to content or to chat. And that's really, really important to be able to do that kind of thing. So here I'm going to click on this chat, and if you remember, all my agents are currently busy, so it says leave a message because there's no agents available. And if I click that, it's going to generate an email that's going to drop onto a queue, create a case, and then we'll deal with that later. Yeah, so if all my agents are busy or it's 2 o'clock in the morning and I don't staff my contact centre 24/7, then you've got that ability. And that's one of the concepts of omnichannel, because I'm adjusting the channel for the journey interactively. So if I go here and say, well, I've come back from lunch now, I'm now online. And after about 3 or 4 seconds, if I refresh this page, rather than getting a message, I get a chat now because it's recognised that there's an agent available. It's more than just there's an agent available, because I've set this up really simply. You can actually say, is there an agent available with the right skills to answer the query that is relevant to this page of my website? Because say I've got my website and I've got a support section and a sales section. It might be that your quite low trained agents can take orders, because anybody can take orders. But that support side needs your specialist agents who are trained and understand the product in depth. So depending on where you instigate the chat from would be routed to the right type of agent to answer that problem automatically. Notice I've thrown on some Power Objects branding and stuff like that. So this is all configurable. This is too big, really, for this website. I just made it big because I was presenting. So, you know, you'd have it much smaller. You can decide what position it goes on the screen, whether it's a pop-up or whether it's on the left, the right, the top, the bottom, whatever. When I click that, it's going to start me a chat session. Now, optionally, I can have a pre-chat questionnaire. Now, this might be, at this point, if you're authenticated on the website, you can push into that from your HTML tags or from lines of JavaScript you can add into your website, the authentication details, so I actually know who this person is. In this scenario, I'm not authenticated, and I'm going to put the name in. So this is Bruce Banner is trying to book a holiday. I presume you all know who Bruce Banner is? So Bruce Banner is your classic customer. He's mild-mannered, nice guy, until you upset him. And that is what your customer's like. You know, they will flick from being Bruce Banner to being the Hulk in a second. So that's why I picked him for this demonstration. You can add other questions in here, and you can have text boxes and drop-downs and configure it all. So I could be asking, is it a support or a sales question, or are you going green today? Which I'd quite like to know before he goes through to my agent. So Bruce has instigated a chat, and we've got a Power Objects logo on there. You can put a picture of an agent on there or anything you like, brand it in any way you like. And we're now waiting for an agent. So if we jump back into USD, I'll kind of show you the agent side. I'm an agent that's available, and I've got the right skill set to do this. So there's a chat there available for me to grab. So I'm going to grab that chat. It's immediately going to create me a session, and it's also going to start to instigate a search. And there we go, we found Bruce Banner in my contacts. If it hadn't found me a contact for him, I can just press plus and create a contact record on the fly if I want to. It doesn't have to be there. So I'm going to click on Bruce, and then it's going to open the contact record. Now, there's a few other things that I can kind of do at this point. We've got the concept of canned messages. So here's a message that we appreciate your patience, which I might want to send to Bruce quite quickly to acknowledge the fact I'm there. And the canned messages are nice because they kind of give you a consistent set of communication that you're doing, but also it makes the agent's life easier. Now, what's nice about these canned messages, it's not just a static list. With Live Assist, you've got a concept of campaigns and engagements. So within each campaign, you can have a set of different canned messages. So the people who are managing the campaign that is for one product set would have a different set of messages for another product set. The concept of an engagement within a campaign is you might have in my campaign I've got two engagements. One is that peel we saw, so it was a content engagement, and the other one is the chat engagement. And you can have loads of different engagements and mix and match them. And you can do kind of testing one against the other and set goals and targets for them and do all sorts of clever stuff with it, which is why you need to think of Live Assist as a lot more than just a chat product. If you want just web chat, there are other products out there. For example, Power Objects do one that does just web chat. And if you want just web chat, they're great. But Live Assist is a lot more than that. Give you an example of some of the other stuff that's in here. I've got this More Info button. What I've pulled up here is a whole load of fields that are about the conversation that I'm having with Bruce. And what's important here, I can see the pages he's being visited, but I can see the details of the pre- and post-chat survey. Now, anybody that knows Unified Service Desk, basically I've got a set of replacement parameters that's got all that in it. So you can imagine it's really, really easy to say, well, if you responded to that question that you've got a support request, if you detect a chat that's got support request, automatically create a case, et cetera, et cetera. So you can start to build automation on these really, really easily. So I'm going to create a case. So notice my agent script, because I'd loaded the contact, had moved on. So I'm driving the conversation that's happening between the agent and Bruce. And Bruce going green again. I can type. Now, as I was doing what agents do and spending a while logging all that, notice there was a message that just went, we have not heard from you for some time. Do you still wish to continue the chat? So there's messages in background that are ticking that are just saying, are you still there? We're still. So if the agent's taking a bit of time to respond or the customer is, you're keeping the conversation alive. And Bruce is going to say, I need help to book holiday with Iron Man going green. So the agent can see that. Now, we've got the knowledge base, and we can start to integrate in with the knowledge base. So some of the kind of automation we do, there's this button here where I can search the knowledge base based on the last chat that came in with Bruce. And here they've got an article about going green, surprisingly. Now, what I could do, because it's omnichannel, is I could click the email button and email that out to Bruce. That's one way I could send it to him. I'll just try and show you another one, though. I'm going to send it to the chat, and that sent the public URL from that knowledge base article into my chat window, and then I've pinged that to Bruce. Bruce has now got that in his chat. If he clicks that, it's going to redirect him to our customer portal and find that knowledge base on the customer portal. So I've brought portals and knowledge base into this scenario. So this is going beyond Live Assist now. So we've looked at emails and exchange and portals and knowledge base, all seamlessly working together. And of course, Bruce has got some details here about how to book a holiday. So there's them in on holiday, and he's going with Iron Man. So there he is with a pint of beer. Just really useful information for him. Now, Bruce is a bit great, but still need help. So we're not quite sorting his problem out for him. So at this point, I want to escalate. So what I'm going to do is say I'm going to start a co-browse. So I want to start guiding him through the website and helping him a little bit more. Now, this doesn't, from a demonstration point of view, because obviously Bruce has got a computer over here in somewhere, some other country or whatever, I'm going to try and show you all this on one screen. So I'm going to position my co-browse in the left. And I'm going to, so what we've got on the right is what Bruce is seeing, and what we've got in the left is what the agent's seeing, yeah? And Bruce is going to accept the co-browse, which is quite important, so the agent can't see anything until it can accept. Now, anybody who's ever done Skype meeting or done WebEx or whatever knows what happens at this point. It goes and it downloads some bits of software or whatever, and it downloads them to your machine. You have to wait for all those plugins and everything to enable and cookies or whatever. There's none of that. It's just co-browsing with completely seamlessly. And that is really important, because what are you doing here is you're just sharing that one page with no software going down to the local machine. And the agent can't see everything that's going on. It's not a screen share, it's a co-browse. So I'm sharing that one browser instance. I'm not sharing everything that's on that machine. It does work as of this week on the iPhone, because they've just updated it. When it first came out, it didn't work with mobile. So you can now do this chat on mobile devices as well as web-based devices. So that's the co-browse style. Let's have a look at some of the things we can do. So I might need to bring Bruce's attention to the dates, and he's got to do selections or whatever, so I can do that kind of thing. I can start to draw on the website and say, well, you know, do you want to go this month or this month? Or I could highlight, I could pick a highlighter pen and highlight bits of it, and I can make it look awful. And then I can press the bin and just get rid of all the information. So I can help to guide him to particular pieces of information. I could say, well, actually, I want to send you some information, Bruce. Here's some information for the Justice League members when they're booking holidays. So that comes up. Now, what's important here, notice that the document that I've sent him is open, but it's open within that browser instance, so the agent can still see it. Because if you'd typically what you've just done here is send them that instruction manual that you found in your knowledge base, or maybe intelligently the bot has found it and pushed it to the customer. The agent needs to see what the customer's looking at, because you might want them to navigate to page 50 within this PDF document and move through it. So you can help them navigate this document. In actual fact, you could navigate it for them. So I can click this button here, and I can start to navigate the website. So I'm going to shut that down. And I've done that as a user, and I can start to move around the website. Bruce equally can still interact with it. Now, what I'm trying to show you here. So Bruce moves forward in placing the order. And I can still interact with this page and say, well, actually, if you're going with Iron Man, you don't need a car. So you don't need parking, but you might want air conditioning, because I think you need to stay nice and cool and calm. Notice there's a difference between these two pages now here. We've got the card number. So we've designated that these fields on the website are secure, so not even the agent can see the credit card number. So if you're implementing this in a banking scenario or an insurance company or something where there's secure information that you don't want the agent to see, you can implement all that, and the agent can still share the experience with the users without that security issue. So I'll shut down the co-browse, and hopefully Bruce is now happy. Great, thanks. So Bruce is finished. Back here, I just want to show you something else before I close this session. If I click here to open the chat activity, what we've got in CRM is a concept of a custom activity that is the chat activity, and I'll show you in a second where that comes into play. Now, you remember earlier that I created a case? So I've created an icon here to automatically link this chat activity to the case that I've created, and hopefully in a second year we'll see that refresh. So what we're going to see is this chat activity is now regarding the case that I created. And that's important. So whenever I go back to that case, I'm associated with that chat, so I can tie all these conversations up together. What Bruce is going to do now is come out of the chat because it's finished. Optionally, we can have a post-chat survey, and we could do a couple of three things here. First of all, we could say, would you like a transcript of this conversation? Send that to Bruce so he's got evidence of what was said. I won't bother with that right now. And equally, we could then have customer satisfaction questions, or we could do a text thing and then add in all the machine learning logic and sentiment analysis that Marco was showing us to see how Bruce felt about what had gone on. Me submit that. Now, back in CRM, after just a few seconds, if we refresh this chat activity, what you're going to see, hopefully, the chat activity is now complete. Look, it's completed automatically because it's finished. It's got a URL here that I don't think you can quite see on this screen. That URL is linking you to an Azure kind of server where the chats are actually kept, so the chats aren't kept locally. But you do get, which is a little bit hard to see on this screen, you get an iframe that's got a copy of the chat in it, so you can see it within the chat activity itself, so you can see it all. Okay, so how are we doing for time? Oh, we've got loads of time. Okay, so I'll show you a couple of other things. So this is one chat. If I go to Chrome, I just want to start a second chat. So I'll start this as somebody else. Chat is different to a phone call in that a skilled agent could juggle two or three chats at the same time, maybe. But a person on the phone, you can only really hold one phone call at once. So actually driving people to web chat rather than to phone is a lot more efficient use of your agent. So I just wanted to show you what was going to happen if I loaded multiple ones at once. It's not loading in Chrome for me. I'll do it in Firefox. Sorry, user error, because I've put the chat on the book page. So the chats, you can have them available on all your website or on certain pages. As part of my demonstration, I've just done it on certain pages. So this time, I'm going to be John Jones. Actually, I'm just going to be John. He's not put his full name in, and he's got a support request. I've got another chat, so we're going to see a second session open. And this is where I'll click an agent script, for example, to send a message to John straight away. So I can build the sending of messages into actions that I do in USD. And that's important, because it might be every single time you create a case, you just ping the case number into the chat window automatically without the agent having to do anything. So now I've got two chats on the go. So here I'm talking to John. If I click on this one, I've got Bruce's conversation. So I could have multiple chats, so I can have loads. But notice that the chat window changes in context of the session, which is quite important, obviously. Now, it might be that, because I've got several Johns in my system, so it's quite hard to find John from this. So let me get rid of this Bruce one just to clear the screen up a bit. If I go and say, well, I'm going to use a different search concept. Now, my USD has got lots of different ways of searching for people. So you might have custom search controls, you might use whatever. So I've got what's effectively a custom one here. So I'm using a power object search control, so a multi-entity search. And I'm going to search for John's. And for the sake of argument, I'm going to say it's this John from Microsoft. And I'm going to open that. Now, I've opened that through a normal kind of search process that I went through in Unified Service Desk. And now what I've got is two sessions open, one that's about John and one that's my chat session. Now, normally in Unified Service Desk, they will stay always separate. So what I can do is I can close that chat session down and go back to here. And notice I've now got this associate with chat session button. And I've done that. And just to show you the kind of interaction, if I open the chat activity, that's now opening within that session. So I've moved the session I created onto the chat, which I've certainly not seen that as being a capability of Unified Service Desk before, being able to just like join two sessions together. So that's quite a neat way of kind of escalating something up. So if you've got a load of custom-built stuff already to search your database and all your integration and everything, you can just deploy Live Assist, take its standard config, and because you can associate the chat with your standard stuff, you can integrate in quite quickly. So I'll dive in and show you a little bit how it's configured if you want. But before I do, has anybody got any questions on the way this is working? No? Great. Let me just quickly then show you a little bit under the covers. So what I'm doing here is I'm just loading my Dynamics application. So when you've installed Live Assist, you get this Live Assist option, and within here you get a number of URLs that link you into the Live Assist system itself. And you can see here what users you've got. So you can use this bottom option to actually configure those users and say what skill sets they've got and all that sort of stuff. But I just wanted to show you the settings and show you the campaign that I've built, so what I did to actually set all of this up. Yeah, yeah. Both. So you can use everything I've showed you outside of USD without using USD at all. So I don't know whether you don't have to. So here I'm just in CRM, yeah, and I've got this panel that comes up, and I can access Live Assist panel from this. Yeah, that's the standard now. That is great. My belief is, though, when you're talking about a contact center environment and you're juggling multiple chats and multiple things and you want to integrate the knowledge base and you want to handle jumping into cases and agent scripts, you really, really probably want USD as well to bring that all together. If, however, you'd got maybe just a couple of agents just offering a support function on your website, then maybe that's good enough. Just use the standard cases and let them navigate CRM manually using the chat. Yeah. So I've got the Live Assist settings. Or I have in a minute. So this is now logging me into Live Assist. And you get all sorts of navigation here about recent chats and stuff. And then I get this campaigns option. This is where I define the campaigns. So I've only got one set up at the moment from a demo point of view. So I've got one campaign set up that is to interact with the visitors to my website. It's running from when I set it up for indefinitely, because you might want to run campaigns for a particular short period, maybe the promotional, or maybe you're going to retire one campaign, start another, because you're doing test and learn. I've got it open to all visitors, but commonly what I think you're going to do is you could put all sorts of constraints in there, and one of the ones I think you will do is the geo. So I work in the UK, for a UK company, I want to say, well, I only want to offer chat to those UK-based customers, because if somebody in Australia comes onto my website, I don't want my agents wasting time talking to somebody in Australia that we're never going to service. So you know, you can say what regions are you actually working in, and it's not limited to one, you can give it a whole list. So you could be looking after Europe, for example, and you put all the European countries in, but you don't put Australia, New Zealand, or China, wherever. You can add other things in terms of detecting all sorts of other information about the users as well, in terms of the demographic information, or maybe they have to be authenticated users on your website before you offer them chat and all that sort of stuff as well. You then build your actual engagements, and I've got two, so I've got the peel. So this is I've created the peel here. And all I've said is, when they click on that, redirect to this part of my website. It's as simple as that. And you can control what images you've got there. And they could be pop-ups or peels. There's all sorts of different styles. I've found that I can generally just take one of the default ones and then tweak it a bit, change its colour, change the text that's on it, and you can configure it really, really quickly. So just to give you an idea, you could add images into it or buttons or change its border or whatever. Change its placement. The peel is obviously left or right. If I created another one that was just a pop-up, I can put it in the middle or wherever I want. If I go back to my campaign. I also said that the peel was only available on my rooms page. So you might only make it available on parts of your website or the whole website. It might be URL based, or you can put tags into your website and do it that way, because the simple way when you start integrating with your website is to look at either the URLs or the HTML tags that you're embedded in your website already, and that will work fine. The problem is if your developers come around and you've got a really complicated kind of website and they change all your tags and everything, then this is going to start to break down. So if you want a more robust way of doing it, you can put like three lines of JavaScript in that push that information to Live Assist, and then it's going to be consistent and a bit more robust. So if you've got a complex website, you probably want to do that kind of thing. For my chat, I've basically just defined my chat. What it's going to look like, and I've added an image on, so I could just change that image, and I can control all sorts of different things about it. And again, I can control, you see it's routed to all skills, so here I'd make the link up between the skills of the agents needed to be able to support this chat and the skills that the agents have got, and it's as simple as that. And then on the USD side of things, when we install it with USD, so if you go through the install process, which is quite simple, what I recommend you do as your first pass, install the Microsoft Sample USD package, the standard one, and install Live Assist, and you can see all its functionality and get a feel for it. When you come to bring it into your own USD configuration, you might face a few more challenges. So if your configuration has changed the name of your panel layouts and changed the name of the standard hosting controls and stuff like that, you're going to have to tweak what Live Assist brings in, because you've got to make it fit into your environment. But it took me a couple of hours to work that out. It really wasn't difficult. And essentially, you've got only two custom hosted controls. So you've got one that called a presence control, which comes in, which really you don't do much with, because it's just automatically setting your presence, and you see what the different presence options are, and you don't work with it again. And then you've got the chat control. The chat control is where all the clever stuff comes in. So you've got a set of events on this as to whether you're creating sessions or what you're doing. So when I create a chat session, for example, there's a whole set of actions as to which agent script I want to come up, whether I want, how I want to do the search, and how do I want to navigate in. So if you want that behavior I'd got at the start, where it went to the multi-entity search and started a basic chat session, you just tweak these actions and you can change all of that behavior and tweak it to whatever it is you need. I'm dived into USD because I'm conscious that some people might not be aware of how you configure USD. But basically, USD is it's a configuration framework. So all of these actions are no code, and you just say, well, when this happens, this is what the actions I want to do, and you just list them, and it's just kind of English-like things that you put in. So it's all quite straightforward stuff to do. Any other questions at all? Just out of interest, people at the moment, how many people have got customers or are using web chat already, or is it something, how prevalent is it in Spain? Do you find that most websites are having it now? Because I'm finding more and more the sites I go to, it's becoming the norm. Or not so much here.
Not so much, but I think it's
yeah.
Rather.
Yeah, but all the customers we're talking to, when we're talking to them about USD now, Live Assist or chat products are coming into the conversation. It's costly.
It's
yeah.
So
yeah. Well, I can show you some more. To be honest, I've gone quite quick, so I'm actually reaching the end of my presentation without delving into the depths of USD, which I'm more than happy to do. But I think what's important with this is the roadmap and what's coming up, and that bot stuff and the video and how we're going to see it integrating in with all the kind of cool stuff that Marco and other people are going to be talking about. Because if you can imagine one agent being able to have real-time chat with customers in whatever language, because using cognitive services to do live translation on that conversation as it's happening, and part of the conversation being bot and part of it being human, it's almost kind of sci-fi stuff as far as I'm concerned. It's like real, you know, and that absolutely is going to be where contact centres, as they're called now, and I'm sure at some point somebody will invent a new word for them rather than just contact centres, because they're going to turn into a different type of business function. So I hope that's been interesting. I'm obviously more than happy to show anybody the detail and go through it and answer any other additional questions afterwards. Thank you. So, took a couple of slides out thinking it was too long, and then it was slightly too short.
You started really quick as well, because you started as soon as Marco left as well. So I think you're fine.
Hey.
Hey, my name is David.
Hi, Neil.
How are you? Hey, one question. How is the license model of...
Oh, that's a good question. So... the basic license, if you've got 1 to 10 users, it's $49 per user per month, which isn't cheap really if you've got a small number of users. But you'll find that a lot of contact centres will have a couple of guys who handle the web chat on the website. It might be a 100 strong contact centre, but there's only a couple of users, so it's probably quite cost effective. Then they have price breaks at 100, 250, 500, 1,000, and basically they'll negotiate with you.
Yeah.
Now, I haven't been through that negotiation to see how far down we can screw that price.
Okay. But actually, Cafex is a Microsoft product or
not? No. Well, yes and no. So,
do you think that Microsoft is the case?
Microsoft have so there's behind the scenes, there's three companies involved here. There's Microsoft. And Microsoft have developed the custom hosted controls we see in Unified Service Desk. So they have done some of the development. We've got CafeX, who've done the integration into Dynamics 365 and done that panel down the side and all of the omnichannel piece. And then there's a company called LivePerson that we as a user, you don't have to integrate with. And it's there is the actual just chat, the chat components. The co-browse component, I think, is theirs. Yeah, so they're doing that IP where you can interact in with that website without having to put anything down locally and stuff. So that's quite specialist.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks.
Hi.
Is that all right?
My friend Anthony.
Hi.
My colleague, job colleague. Could you take a picture with you?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Maybe it seems a strange one.
No.
You lied.
I always run on with my presentations. Normally take too long, so I cut a couple of slides out, thinking, "Oh, I'm going to run on," and then I finished a little bit early, which was a shame.
Okay, thank you very much. business
thank
car.
You. Okay. Tell you what, you can. So then you've got my contact details as well.
Thanks.
Thank you. Alright, thanks. Oh yeah, definitely. I always forget about giving business cards out.
I think I got one from
Marco. Obviously it's the same. Right.
I talked to my director.
Are you using USD now? Or?
No, not yet. But we're looking to change.
Yeah. See, what it wasn't so long ago that it was hard to recommend USD because it felt a little bit slow, a little bit buggy. But since the last couple of versions, it's getting really robust and it's getting a lot of user adoption now. Yeah.
Is there any way that you can implement like a care system
or like that? Care system. So what do you mean for what?
For like a care homes or the something like this.
I don't know. Well, I'm very new to Power Objects, so I don't know what customers they've got. I've certainly seen and heard about people doing it in care homes and stuff. And one of the things I've heard of being used in care homes is field service. So I don't know whether you've come across field service.
Yeah.
So the advantage, field service is often thought about as the white van man, so the man driving around in his van fixing stuff. But equally, it could be somebody, you know, you're giving somebody appointments to go and do care, and you can give them a list of things that this person needs to have looked at. You can also build in some stuff. I did a prototype. It wasn't a care situation, but it was for engineers that were going on roofs and stuff. So you're going into a home that's risky. You know, you've got a lady going on her own, and there's a, so you can set alerts so that if after a certain time they haven't changed the status, automatically it's going to ring alarm bells and stuff.
My office is not far from Power Object, really, because you're based in Ahab. We're in Ascot.
Right. Yeah.
And we got like a, you know, all the marketing thing like that, financial. At the moment, we're looking to, because we got so many different systems in the company.
Yeah.
And they're not talking to each other. So if marketing want to get the data, they have to come to us, like, instead of like the global system.
Yeah.
Which is just like cause effect, really, you know, it's to talking about it. So that's why, you know, I'm looking to something to.
I would have thought. The managing of calendars, the marketing information, the mobile apps and the field service add-ins, the something like USD for the contact center front end in terms of handling the requests that are going to come in and cases for all the different kind of care services that you provide and stuff. You know, there's some obvious kind of, it's not a straight, we sell widgets, we have orders and stuff. So the sales pipeline kind of logic probably doesn't fit, but there's so much other stuff that probably does fit, really.
I think that's what you have to try to put in the best at the moment. But thanks a lot.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I wished I'd had time. And I suppose it happens with the first time you do each presentation in front of an audience. It's only then that you find out. So I think the first time you do it, you've probably got a natural tendency to try and rush because you're worried you're going to finish too soon. But when you've... See, if I did that again, I probably would slow down and put a few more anecdotes in and stuff, because I know I've got time.
Well, I think you paced it quite well,
Other than but this audience didn't ask as many questions, and I don't know if it's a language thing.
Oh, is this all good?